most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are, and it is November 1st.
Yes. Yeah. The day after October 31st.
That would be it. Usually happens that way.
Yes, yeah. You're pulling a Don Johnson today. What's that about? I'm dating myself by using that as a reference, as Miami Vice reference.
Oh, I thought that meant something else, pulling a Don Johnson.
Pulling a Don Johnson, yes. So I wasn't speaking in euphemisms, Michael. I was speaking about the actual man, Don Johnson.
Is that a good thing?
Yes.
I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I spent a lot of my time pulling Don Johnson.
Yeah, I'm sure you did, Paul. More than I'd like to hear about, I'm sure. But, you know,
You got the scruffy thing going.
I do today.
It's working for you.
Is it?
Yeah.
I had no choice today.
I can't do that. I wish I could. Because I'm Italian.
Because you don't grow?
No, because I'm Italian. I grow beards for parties. They just come out of me like a fuzzy bunch
of
barbershop.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's kind of like your back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I told you. My back, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You put suntan lotion on this back, it's like trying to get peanut butter out of a shag rug. You know what I'm saying?
Not pretty.
There's an image to take with
you.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, we would like to, before we get on this roller coaster that I think we're going to be on today, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. And to learn more about Breakdown Services, simply visit them at BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
And, Paul, we've got another terrific show today with two uber-talented in-studio guests.
Uber?
And, that's a word that I like to use because one of our guests likes to use that word.
Oh, okay. So uber-talented. Okay.
Yes, uber-talented. In-studio guest and another very special guest loved the world over. He'll be joining us by telephone from back east in just a few minutes.
Okay, great. Is he calling in or are we calling
you
him?
You are calling him.
Oh, okay. Yes. I should probably figure out how to do that.
Yeah. And the first of our in-studio guests is not only a successful producer, director, writer of theater, and producer of records, and director of motion pictures, and now television on the Internet, the venerable Bruce Kimmel is here. Welcome, Bruce, and we'll be talking with you in just a few minutes.
Welcome, Bruce. And continue to do the introduction if you would, Michael.
Also in studio with us is very funny man Richard Tanner, who's putting it all out there this month in the world premiere of his one-man show, Small Parts, at the Flight Theater in Hollywood. Richard Tanner is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, Richard.
I'm Richard.
We'll be talking with you a little bit later in the hour.
Yes.
So, shall I give the intro?
Well, tell me a little about your week before we get there, unless you want to jump right into talking to Scott.
The week has been a little chaotic, actually.
Really?
Yeah, a little chaotic, some changes going on in my life. But here's an example, a perfect example of how chaotic. I actually, as you know, walked into the studio, just 3 minutes before we go on air.
3 minutes ago, looking a little verhuddled, as
we
say.
Verhuddled?
Verhuddled, yeah. It's a German word. It means pell-mell, means all too many plates spinning.
Yeah.
Well, verhuddled, great word.
That's what happened. Yes, it is a great word. Yeah. And how I look right now, I did not look when I got into my car at the house to come to the studio.
What?
I was wearing the pants that you see that I have on.
Yeah.
And that was all.
Really?
Yeah, I had no nothing with me. My keys, I'm in the car, and I looked down at myself, realized, how often does this happen? Never, to me.
Yeah,
you're much more put together than that. I ran out so fast, kissing my dog goodbye, apologizing for this and that, and realized I had not put my shirt on. Yeah.
Oh, you mean like no shirt either?
No shirt.
Oh, man.
Yeah. What else would you suspect?
Just, you know, I know with some of the clubs you go to, you might be used to getting in the car that way, but I was more your keys and your wallet that
really?
I was... No, I'm kidding.
Well,
I'm kidding.
Don't take me down that street.
Well, my week was straight out boring compared to that. Here, I was getting in my car the whole week with all my clothes on.
Oh, but, there you go. Yeah.
You know, I'm crazy that way. Life on the edge with Paul. That's me.
Well, you're a busy man these days getting ready to open in your
show. Yes, Christmas Twist, Seaglass Theater, great Dickens spoof. And we open November 10th.
Yes.
And we go into tech this weekend, and I'm directing it and in it because I'm a friggin' idiot. That's why.
So you are officially in what they call Hell Week.
Hell Week, yes, yeah. Exactly. So we don't even need to talk about that, do we? I mean, it's going great. It's just that
I can't imagine.
I'm welcoming the respite of not talking about it for an hour and talking to these gentlemen.
You are so anal retentive, not unlike myself, that I can't imagine it's going right along at the,
it's going
the
very
speed
well.
That it should.
Yeah, going
right?
Very well. Very well.
All right.
But let's talk to our first guest,
yes.
And we'll call out to him, and I'll give him the intro that he is so aptly doing.
You know, we love having this guy back on State of the Arts. He's not only a four-time U.S. national champion, but a four-time world champion and perhaps one of the most famous Olympic champions ever on the planet for his athletic prowess on the ice. He's also a cancer and brain tumor survivor who, in the last 13 years, has raised millions of dollars for cancer research, education, and survivorship. And here to talk about his annual fundraising spectacular happening this weekend in Cleveland, Ohio, November 3rd, at the Quicken Loans Arena. Give it up for my friend of 27 years, the one and only Mr. Scott Hamilton.
Mr. Scott Hamilton, who we're going to call right now.
Yeah.
We're dialing out to him right now, and hopefully he will pick up. This is the lovely on-the-fly call-ins of internet radio. And let's see. And there it's ringing. And let's hope he doesn't think we're dominoes.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Scott Hamilton. This is State of the Arts.
How are you?
Hey, Scotty. How are you, pal?
I'm doing well. I'm doing all right.
I know you've been flying into Cleveland from your home in Nashville this afternoon. We can't thank you enough for taking the time to speak with us out here.
Always a pleasure having you.
No, it's my pleasure. It's great.
So you settled into the hotel room?
Yeah, well, you know, we're a traveling circus, so the configuration of how we sleep and roll every year in this thing is just, it boggles my mind. We have, you know, a grocery food run because none of the kids don't eat any, like, they only eat organic, and they only eat gluten-free, and it's just certain things, and Max only eats, like, five things anyway. And so we got to do the Whole Foods run, then we got to, you know, get everything loaded in, and then we got to make sure that we have the right bed and the right this and then the situation so that we can close it out for the babysitter the night of the show because we're up all night. And it's just, you know, at least now at 13, we know who we are and what we're doing. It's always a bumpy ride coming in here.
Well, nobody said life married to a beautiful woman such as you are with two beautiful children such as you have would be easy, right? And trying to mix that into your work life.
If it was easy, it wouldn't be interesting, right?
That's right. That's right.
Now, Scott, tell our listeners what it is that we're... this is an evening with Scott Hamilton and friends, and this is November 3rd. And this is all 13 U.S. Olympic gold medalists in figure skating to attend in honor of the event's 13th year. Boy, that doesn't sound like a logistic nightmare at all. How difficult is that?
No. It was funny because I came up with the idea last year. I was talking to Carol Heiss-Jenkins, who comes to the show every year with Hayes, and they won their medals in 56 and 60, you know, and so, you know, they're there every year. They support the event. They're wonderful. And I thought, you know, next year's 13. And it's not a very lucky number. And then I said, you know, there's 13 of us. And we just said, oh, that's right, there is. I go, do you think I should bring them all together? And Carol was just like, I'll help you in any way that I can. And it was just sort of, you know, funny because I threw a line out early, you know, like last year on the Nationals time in January. I said, would you guys want to come? And I talked to a bunch. They said, well, I don't know if our schedule will do it. And I don't know. I know, call me later on. So it was toward the end of August, and I just got on the phone. I called all of them in one day,
and they were
looking at their calendars, and they were all clear, and they said, absolutely, we'd love to come together. And so it's a bit of a reunion. The 13th is Evan Lysacek, who's back in training for the next Olympics, and the number one is Dick Button, and you know, he won his first medals in 48 and 52. So it's just a thrill to have him come and be a part of this, and everybody in between. It's awesome.
And then you've got Tenley Albright and Hayes Allen Jenkins and Carol Heiss, as you said, and of course yourself, Brian Boitano, Christy Yamaguchi, Tara Lipinski, Sarah Hughes,
Dorothy Hamill. Fleming. I mean, it's a big deal.
It's a shame they couldn't get any names,
and,
isn't it?
As if that weren't enough, you've got the amazing, fabulous, beautiful Winona Judd headlining the evening musically. How cool is that?
What a voice.
Yeah. She's a lovely woman.
Amazing. I mean, what a voice. And the broad, you know, the genres. You know, she's known, I guess, as being a member of the Judds. You know, she and her mom, and they're basically country. But when you look at her set list and when you look at what she's doing now as a solo artist, it's everything from kind of, you know, the standards to Broadway to, you know, rock. I mean, she does everything in this set. She's doing everything from Etta James to Led Zeppelin.
Wow.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, that is.
It's great.
I think you're right. I think most people, many people have her pigeonholed as sort of a country artist, but she's, you know, her palette is much, much broader than that.
Well, Scott, you know...
And she jokes that now she's able to sing the songs that her mother wouldn't let her sing.
That's great.
You know, you're so passionate about this evening and this cause and what it does for cancer and your foundation, the Scott Hamilton Cares Foundation at the Taussig Cancer Institute at the Cleveland Clinic there in Cleveland. And you've had such amazing stars over the years join you, Liza Minnelli, Aretha Franklin, you know, the Leanne Rimes, the list goes on. But it just keeps getting better and better. And I said in your intro right before you picked up the phone that you have literally raised millions and millions of dollars for your foundation. Tell the listeners again, let's tell them again about the foundation and what its mission is.
Well, you know, when I went through cancer in 97, I learned a lot. I learned that there's a lot of really capable physicians and research scientists working in cancer. And then I realized that they were also, as good as it was and as great as it, you know, it was getting better every day, there were still a lot of holes, a lot of gaps in the cancer community and patient support and information, user-friendly information. And in general, just as someone who survived cancer and also someone who lost the most, you know, my mother. I mean, my mother was the most important person in my life, and I lost her to cancer. I just felt like I needed to do something to kind of fill in the gaps and raise the bar a little bit. And so we started the CARES, which stands for Cancer Alliance for Research, Education, and Survivorship. And we just didn't want to be, you know, kind of a one thing about cancer. We wanted to really look at all forms of cancer and all the different issues that come with cancer. So we created a website called chemocare.com, and it is a website that talks about everything you need to know about the chemotherapy experience, how it's administered, the drugs. It describes every single chemotherapy drug in 8th grade English and Spanish. It's amazing. And then how to manage the side effects, and then there's all kinds of other information on there. It's just extraordinary. And we're getting hits, like long hits in India, South America, Africa, Europe, all over North America. It's just an extraordinary home run. It's a great, great site, chemocare.com. And then Fourth Angel Mentoring Program. When I was going through my cancer, I'd ask doctors and oncology nurses, you know, questions like, how sick am I going to get? And the answers I got to my questions were, well, you're moderate to severe. I'm thinking,
wow.
Okay, I got to be politically correct, and you got to be very careful with your words. I needed, you know, a coach. I needed somebody that would, you know, help me with the other issues, the other components of the cancer and chemotherapy experience. And so we created a organization called Fourth Angel. And the idea behind it is you have three angels already going through your cancer. You've got your first angel is your doctor, your second angel is your oncology nurse, and your third angel is your friends and family. But we needed a fourth angel. And the fourth angel is someone who's been there, done that. You know, someone that's had the same cancer as you, the same treatment as you. We try to match patients and mentors, you know, as identically as we can. If it's a certain type of breast cancer, and it's a certain type of treatment, and they, you know, two kids and this and that, we try to find somebody that's been through it, same thing with two kids, and, you know, so they really can speak the same language, and they know, you know, kind of what each other's going through. So that's just grown. I mean, it's in 48 states right now, so we're doing really well with that. We've got 32 research programs going on right now. We're going to add 4 more this year at least. And, you know, the Taussig Cancer Institute is the number 6 ranked cancer hospital, you know, in the country.
Yes.
And when you think about that, I mean, they're first in heart, first in urology, first, I mean, they're first in a lot of stuff in cancer. They've gone up every single year in the ranking. So we're, you know, in the same field as as MD Anderson, as Dana Farber, as Glenn Kettering. I mean, we're up there. We're doing really, really good stuff.
Well,
and so this event is kind of our way of funding a lot of the stuff that we want to do.
It takes somebody like you, Mr. Scott Hamilton, to put all of this together. You're so passionate, as I said, about it. And let's remind people how they can see this event this year, Paul.
Yeah, the tickets are available by visiting www.theqarena.com. That's theqarena.com. Or they can call 800-332-2287. That's 800-332-2287. And there's also, for more information about the Scott Hamilton CARES Initiative, you can call the CARES hotline at 216-445-2573. Or you can visit www.scottcares.org. That's a .org, not a .com. Scott Cares.
And it is an evening with Scott Hamilton and friends this weekend, November 3rd. Winona Judd headlines it musically. Scott and his cast, his amazing cast of all 13 U.S. Olympic gold medalists in the building, will be on the ice, some of them, and others there in honor of this amazing 13th year. Scott, many congratulations and have an amazing
show. So nice having
show.
You on, Scott.
No, thank you, and thanks for helping me promote this. It's the one night of the year I think about every single day, and now it's coming up the after tomorrow, and I'm freaking out!
Listen, give Tracy my love and the boys my love, and God bless you. My friend, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you, Scott.
All righty.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
He's always great to have on.
Such a lovely guy.
Nicest man walking.
He's all of the adversity that he's been through in his life, he never complains about it. He simply says, okay.
Yeah.
So now what's next, you know? And he gets through it.
Yeah.
But let's move on here because we
to the two gentlemen in our studio.
So
thank you so much.
So many things to talk about with these gentlemen. As an actor, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Can I give him this one?
You certainly.
I'm behind on the. I'm so verhuddled. As an actor, he appeared in such television shows as The Partridge Family and MASH and everything in between. As a director, he brought to the screen the iconic cult film The First Nudie Musical.
Oh yeah.
Which we're going to talk about. He established Kritzerland Records to produce and record Broadway and off-Broadway cast albums, individual Broadway artists, and musical theater concepts. For his efforts, he was nominated for a Grammy Award. He's also a successful author, having written 9 novels and other published works, including his part 2 of his memoirs titled Album Produced by. He's back. He's bigger than ever. Bruce Kimmel.
How are you, sir?
I love this audience that you have.
Don't
here.
You?
We love them,
Hi,
too.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, don't feed them. Don't feed them.
I want to know how I went from uber talented to venerable.
I think they're both nice words, don't you?
They are, but one implies that I'm elderly.
Well, that we know that you're not.
Well,
so, but
did I say,
say venerable? It was alphabetical.
Did I say venerable?
Yes. Yeah.
Did I say venerable?
No,
yeah.
Michael Sterling said.
I
said venerable.
I did in my earlier my.
Okay. If you're venerable, a little penicillin will take right.
Thank you.
It's an honor. It's
we
honorable.
Just had a spit take in my left.
Oh yeah, it's been a long time since I got a spit take. Thank you, Richard. I appreciate it.
Among all those things, yes. Bruce also brings into my nightclub, Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, this fabulous series of monthly shows.
The Kritzerland
yes. Records presents,
which and, I've enjoyed many times.
You were there at the opening.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Certainly. At the Federal.
With that dynamic little girl, that firecracker of a singer.
Melody Hollis.
Yes, yes.
Fantastic. And that other dynamic little girl, Lainey Kazan.
Yes, yeah. Yes, she was dynamic.
Yes.
Yeah. And dynamic fish and chips, as I always say. It's
Julie
great food.
Garnier, lots of fantastic people on that evening. As it is every month, Bruce finds the best and puts them on our stage. This weekend, let's talk about this.
What's the theme of the next one?
Yeah.
This weekend, you know, these are all based on albums I produced or material I produced at this point. So this weekend is an album actually that never happened that was supposed to happen because, as happens sometimes, several of the creative people involved in the making of it died. So we decided not to do it.
Damn it.
I heard he was difficult to work with. I didn't want to say anything.
So it's called, we call the show Mostly Rodgers and Hammerstein with a little heart and a little Sondheim.
Nice.
So it's mostly R&H, Hammerstein H. And I think we have 2 heart songs and Three Sondheim. Rogers and Sondheim.
You can't go wrong with this combination.
No, no,
something there for everybody, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's really the best. It's just like, you know, we have our little rehearsals, and it's like, I got great singers and the best songs ever written. How can you not love it?
Well, he always has, you know, as I said, this wonderful Broadway cast of performers, and he, a special guest star. And this will be no different, because he has... He has found a man who was connected to Rodgers and Hammerstein through Flower Drum Song, who is a wonderful performer, and he is a gentleman who is definitely venerable.
Yes.
And what an honor it will be to see him on Sunday.
And that is Alvin Ing, who in fact gave one of the greatest performances I have ever seen on a Broadway stage in Pacific Overtures, where he played the Shogun's wife and sang Chrysanthemum Tea, and it's like one of the most iconic performances I have ever seen. I mean, it's right up there with anybody.
Wow, really? I didn't see it, but I can imagine.
It's a thrill to have him.
He is an amazingly charming man, you know, very gentle and hugely talented. So, what a great...
It'll be fun.
Bruce, I'm curious about this, and it's sort of a question I ask fairly frequently, but especially with something like this, where you have killer singers, and you have, like you said, the best, you know, musical theater content that there is. How do you dictate the order on this? Is there a narrative? I mean, what decides that for you?
I started doing these because I had been going to a lot of cabaret, and I'm not naming names, but what I would see in sort of what I would call group cabaret, where they would just sort of aimlessly have 14 singers doing stuff, I saw nothing, you know, so after song three, I was done because there was no point. You know, to me, everything has to have a point.
Right.
If there's no point, I'm not interested. And I say that when I direct people's club acts. I say that when I direct shows, when I make albums. If there's no point, it doesn't mean anything. So with our shows, I wanted to create something where you could learn a little something about the song. So I do a contextual commentary. I talk before each song. I give the history of the song or the show. And I didn't really intend to do that so much, but the first show we did was based on my album Lost in Boston, which is cut songs from hit shows. And I realized if you don't set them up, they have no meaning. And then, but the order that you mentioned, that's the most, the structure is everything to me. And so our shows are really structured. And I birthing the order is the most interesting part for me, because I want it to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Right. And I always designed my albums to be in three acts. So the first five songs were act one, the second five, you know, and they would have a proper bill, and I do the shows that way.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious about that, because you're building a new entertainment. You don't have the cohesion of a play, you know, where the script is there for you. So I was curious, because I know they don't spring from the earth fully formed like that.
It takes me hours and hours to write the commentary, because I want it to be amusing.
Oh. It is amusing, and that's one of the...
And you know him. If he doesn't get a laugh in 10 seconds, he's out,
out
of the door.
The club.
Yeah.
No, it used to be, he is amusing, and he's also kind of eludes the fact of one of the other performers, Guy Haines, who never has shown up yet to perform.
He's a bad boy.
He's a bad boy. But when that happens, Mr. Bruce Kimmel sings in his place.
Really?
Not always. Just at very special occasions, he chooses to do numbers which are quite charming.
Guy keeps going to Vitello's in Gardenia.
Doesn't he know we left there?
Because he's an idiot, basically.
he's performing somewhere.
He's always performing somewhere.
It reminds me of something I read in News of the Weird a couple of weeks ago. There's a thing on the web, News of the Weird, and these two dolphins in Florida had gone through this underground waterway and wound up in a pond on a golf course and did their act at 2 o'clock, hoping to be fed.
Yes.
So right in the middle of this pond at a golf course, these dolphins just did this perfectly orchestrated act, hoping to get fed, because they said, we're doing our show. It's not the same audience.
That's
but
very Guy Haines.
Sterling's upstairs at the Federal. The show is Kritzerland Records, the Rodgers and Hammerstein album with a little heart and a little Sondheim. This is, as I said, Sterling's upstairs at the Federal. And that is at 5303 Lancashire Boulevard in NoHo, which is what they call call it now that they got the prostitutes out of there. Lady!
Hey, before it, hey, lady!
The dinner seating, 5:30 to 6. Showtime is at 7, and the tickets are reservation only, and these Kritzerland nights are hot sellers.
Yes, they are.
So, 818-754-8700. That's 818-754-8700 to attend.
Absolutely.
But we'll say that again by the end of the hour, too. We'll throw that information
Bruce,
out there.
You have such a history with the production of records, as I said lightly in your intro, but before you had Kritzerland, you were also with another label, Varese Sarabande. That's really where you started this kind of passionate outreach.
Yeah, I had had a label prior to that called Bay Cities.
Okay.
But we didn't really, other than a handful of albums, it wasn't about producing.
Right.
It was just reissuing stuff. And I was chomping at the bit to produce, and then Varese came to me because they wanted me to shut down Bay Cities because we were taking away mm-hmm. a lot of soundtracks that they wanted to release themselves. So they thought that would be the easiest way. So I was offered the chance to start my own division and do whatever I wanted. Basically. And I said to the owner of the company, and I helped start that company
right.
back in 1978. And in fact, their first soundtrack LP was the first Nudie musical.
Oh.
That was their nice. First thing.
And we have that LP here.
Yes, because Richard,
oh, we do.
Richard brought it in to get it.
That's right.
In.
You yes. said you were going to do that.
Yeah. yeah.
And so I said to the owner, I don't think you understand if you say this to me. You have to be willing to go there
right.
because I'm not putting my toe in the water. I said, I want to be within a year the current batch of us, the most known producer of show music there is. That's my goal. And the fact is, it took 6 months. It didn't take a year. Because
wow.
we came out, nobody was doing theater music in 1993. They had
right.
all given up on it. There was nothing. We came out, I was doing 19 albums a year.
Holy cow.
And it was insane, but I loved it. And suddenly, everybody, you know, and people are loving the albums and the concepts and the, you know, we have the best singers. And suddenly, all these other labels look at us and go, oh, dear, you know, and 2 years into it, they all got back into it and started doing it again. But
leave it up to you. He just did an amazing project with Follies, a remix of Follies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was, well, tell them the story.
Well, you know, it's always been an album that people hate and love because you cannot better those performances of that original cast. It's one of the greatest theater scores ever written. But the album, you know, which is like all cast albums, was recorded in a day in a remote hall and on eight tracks in those days, was so hastily mixed and put together, and it was truncated, and the sound of it was, like maybe the worst sounding cast album ever.
Really?
Because the vocal blends, they were over on the right, on the left. You know,
and known to be that in the industry?
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Loathed.
Oh, okay.
And loved at the same time. Real love-hate. And I just had a thought, and I called the people, because I'd been licensing from Capitol. And I said to the guy I licensed from, would you be willing to license me this as a limited edition? I know it's easy to get still, the original, but nobody likes it. And you'll own this remix after I'm through with it. But could I remix it from the 8-track tapes? Do you even have the 8-track tapes? So it took 6 months to get them to say yes. And then they went and sent me the list of the tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, you know, various copies, digital and analog, of the album master. And then there were two reels, 8-track edited session masters. So there was no, when they do these edited session masters, it's the full 8 tracks, you have total control. But they've cut out the slates, they've cut out the bad takes. So we didn't have, with the exception of one song, any alternate takes. There was no extra material. But I started from scratch, and I just, with great love and heart and respect, totally remixed this from scratch
wow.
with my wonderful engineer, John Adams, and we knew it was good. How good, your tunnel vision, but
yeah.
I just knew it sounded 1,000,000% better. But I sent it to Mr. Sondheim, and he wrote me an email back immediately.
Wrote him an email.
Oh, wow.
And he said, this is a miracle.
Wow.
He said, I don't know how you did this, but this sounds like it was recorded yesterday. It's, you can hear the vocals and the band. And then I started hearing from Harold Prince and John McMartin and Kurt Peterson and all the living people. Harvey Evans wrote. Right.
That's a Herculean effort, though.
And the orchestrator wrote, Jonathan Tunick.
You could perhaps not have been able to do this years ago without the present technology. Is that right?
No, you could have remixed it. It's much easier to do it now, and we have a lot of control.
Cause well, that's what I meant.
I had done a remix of Promises, Promises from those 16-track days.
Okay.
Because that album was, that's a Grammy-winning album, and it always sounded okay, except the strings were on the right instead of the left, which is the first thing I fixed. But Jerry Orbach, you know, he wasn't having a good day in the day they recorded it, and he's, you know, on three-quarters of the album, a half a tone flat. And people have always had trouble listening to the album, and I corrected his pitch because we can do that now, oh, not by turning on a machine for the entirety of the album, but syllable by syllable.
Wow.
You know, so the stuff that was okay, we left. You know, I was always respectful of the performance.
It's like film restoration. My friend is film restoration, and it's frame by frame.
Oh,
it's just like you have to. Wow, that's
you can't
astounding.
Just turn a machine on.
Oh, but that's an anal retentive's wet dream. Though.
Yes,
I'm all
of
over
course.
That. Are you kidding? I'm just that's.
Well, there's four of us in the room, so we're happy. And one more time, ladies and gentlemen, to see Bruce Kimmel's work come alive on the stage. Critchland Records, the Rodgers and Hammerstein album with A Little Heart and A Little Sondheim this weekend, it is on Sunday, November 4th at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal. And dinner seating
is it Sunday or Monday?
It is Sunday. Yeah.
Oh, Sunday.
Can
okay.
I say one little thing about
sure.
the show Sunday?
Yes, please.
Because it's very exciting and it's the first time we've ever done this. Probably the last time, but we're premiere. Yeah, I do a web series called Outside the
yes,
Box.
Yes, that was a special.
And we have great Broadway people doing these episodes, and it's about a very strange musical theater group that does musicals that are just wrong.
Oh.
So the first season has The Miracle Worker and Psycho and Soylent Green. And
I sent you a link to that.
I got it when I was at the meeting, so I haven't been able to look at it.
Filled with hit songs like Soylent Green is People. And
and you can imagine with his sense of humor, it's about a 6.5 minute.
Yeah, each episode is about under six.
That's hysterical.
So we're premiering episode one of season two at this show Sunday.
Okay. And can you say what that is? Or
I will say to your listeners only that it's The Exorcist.
There we go.
And it stars Hal Linden as Father Maron.
Hysterical. That's hysterical.
Very funny stuff.
It brings to mind something I saw in The Simpsons when they did the musical version of Planet of the Apes.
Right.
And the line that sticks out, which is just genius, is, "Why do I hate every monkey I see from chimpan A to chimpanzee?" Just inspired.
Love that.
Anyway, Bruce, stick around, would you?
I will. Please,
we're
going to
talk to Richard now, but
yes.
And we will throw that information about the Critzerland Records, the Rodgers and Hammerstein album with A Little Heart and A Little Sondheim at the end of the hour, and throw that phone number.
I think
out
we might
well.
Have a little track of something from.
Do we?
Yeah.
Let's save it and we can have it play us off the air we can get to Richard, who's been so patient here. Michael, would you give him his due?
Certainly. As press notes say, ladies and gentlemen, you know who he is. He's appeared in over 65 television shows, feature films, short films, plays, educational training films, and webisodes, and once for a Japanese yogurt commercial. Or maybe you were standing next to him in the 15 items or less line at the market last week and realized the fact that a six-pack is not one item, it's six. He's a successful stand-up comedian who's premiering his one-man show, Small Parts, November 15th through the 18th at the Flight Theater in Hollywood. Please welcome Richard Tanner.
Yeah, that's right. I attract the rock crowd. That's my audience.
Hey,
that's right.
I'm sorry. I don't have Japanese yogurt music.
Those are my peeps. That's right. And I just want to say, Michael's not the only one who was in a rush this morning. I'm actually not wearing pants right now.
It's Pantsless Thursday.
Ah,
good. Okay. Well, what are you going to do?
It's acceptable here.
Yes, I bring my own slide trombone wherever I go. And Bruce, just so you know, my birthday's April 18th. So
all right.
That
then
Follies would make a delightful
gift. Come on Sunday night, and we'll give you a Follies.
As I've told you guys, I'm a huge fan of this man.
When I called, he called me when he agreed to do the show this morning.
I snuck into New York City to go see a midnight show of the first nudie musical. That was very daring for a nice Jewish boy from Long Island. Wow. Let me tell you.
And there was recently a revival of it, right? In Los Angeles.
At the New
showing.
Okay. Enough about you.
No, Richard came in with the LP, and as the LP is still in the cellophane.
Wow. Because you're not the only anal retentive person. My friend.
I think collectively we have a pretty high strung.
You found your match. Hi, I'm delighted to be here.
It's so nice to have you. Okay, small parts. To the story, the myth, the legend, a work in progress. I have to throw this quote out here because I think this is just, it says it all. It says, "There are no small parts, Konstantin Stanislavski." And then underneath that it says, "Bullshit, Richard Tanner."
We were actually going to make that up into T-shirts and sell them, but I think that'll be the next incarnation. As I was explaining, this is sort of our in-town, out-of-town tryout show. It's the first time we're putting it up, and it's quite a feat. My goal was always not to do just another one-man show because there's such a glut of them. And I really wanted to make this a multimedia piece. I wanted to make it audience interactive. I had this vision for a long time, and that's what it's turning out to be. We have an incredible director on board, Jim Fall,
who's done
stuff at the bootleg, but also has a strong TV and film background. And the first thing he said to me, he said, "This is very cinematic, isn't it?" And I was like, "Yep, you're the guy for me." And we've got this just an amazing crew of people who've come on board. You know,
Eduardo Enriquez producing it.
Wonderful producer. We've got a sound designer, a lighting designer. We've got somebody doing animation for us.
Wow.
So, there's. I'm not going to give it away. There's a secret surprise in the lobby too. Site specific. Yes.
Okay. All right.
I'm making me nervous.
There will be audience participation.
Is that what they're calling it now?
That's what I see. There will be, and it won't be venerable though. If it is, I'll have.
You'll have the penicillin.
Condoms on.
There you go.
I'm really wanting this to be the kind of show that I always wanted to see when I go see a one man show.
Right.
I completely break down the fourth wall. I drag people up on stage kicking and screaming. There will be some animal sacrifice, perhaps. Anything's possible.
Isn't it funny, though, how so few people approach it that way? Because I'm the same way. Yeah. Like, when I direct something or work on something, it's like, what do I want to experience in the theater?
Yes.
And so few people look at it. It sounds like such common sense, but so few people really do that. When assembling the material for this, what did you, you had the chronology of just your own experiences to...
Well, yeah, and it's actually not in chronological order. It does sort of jump around sort of the way a lot of times a film will. This thing had been gestating... I went to college.
Yeah.
I also can use the word penultimate in a sentence. But this thing had been really gestating for, I'm saying, a good 10 years. A lot of it came out of just my frustrations of being a working actor and not getting to do the sort of stuff that I'd always wanted to do. This will tell you a lot. It's not a subtitle, but a super title for the show in my head was always Big Ego ... Small Parts,
right.
Which says a lot because it's not so much about what I did, but what the fantasy I always held for myself from the earliest age, you know.
Well, and also we know that as performers, the ego is not necessarily it's a protecting thing too. Mm-hmm. It's a tool you use to keep yourself safe when everyone else shoots you down.
I learned very early on that comedy is a great way to take back control, take back power. You know, they say tragedy plus time equals.
I find a gun works well too.
That does work well too, actually. In fact, I'm packing right now.
Are you?
I didn't mean a gun.
I don't want to say anything.
I learned. It's in the show. There's an anecdote in the show about this actually, about my very very first experience. I was actually working with Woody Allen, and when I say working with Woody Allen, I mean. Well, you'll find out. But and it was such a disillusionment for me, not him, but just the experience. And I found myself writing it down just to sort of get it out of my head.
Right.
I eventually it eventually ended up getting published. And that taught me this valuable lesson that you can take your own pain, turn it into something funny, and sort of regain your power over it. I mean, that sounds all very deep, but...
Regain your power over it and not have it as theater as therapy. Like, not have...
There'll be therapy. We have a couch, and I personally will
Still enjoyable for an audience or readership.
Of course. So a lot of this... I've been doing storytelling for about... Seven more. There's a wonderful group called the Story Salon, which is one of LA's oldest.
Yes, Mark Reese was here selling
storytelling collective.
Yes, yeah.
So some of these stories came out of that. I mean, I started doing them as solo pieces and then integrated them into this piece. But this was really its own entity.
Oh. Did you always know that you were funny? Were you always funny?
Am I funny?
Yes, you're delightful.
Oh, thank you. I like you too. No. Cliff Satius was the funniest guy I ever knew, my best friend. He could make me pee my pants. And to me, that is still the mark of humor. If I can't make an audience urinate, you know, against their will, then I haven't done my job.
Easier in certain states.
Certain age groups, actually. Right, exactly. I've done old age homes. Anyway. No. This really, you know, it's funny talking to Bruce here because... I went to New York to be a serious actor, mm-hmm. And when that didn't quite pan out of just sheer frustration and my love of musical theater, I started writing songs, just really as a sideline. And I hooked up with a composer who had just arrived in New York. I was his first songwriting partner. This guy you've probably never heard of called Steve Flaherty. He wrote a little thing called Ragtime. Mm-hmm. But we just started putting songs together, and we had a cabaret act. And it was funny.
So you sing?
Or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, I will be singing a little on the show. But the point being is that they were funny songs, and then I sort of came up with patter between the songs, like Bruce was talking about. And when I moved to L.A., and there really wasn't that much back, and when I moved, there wasn't too much... audience for that, I kind of just took the patter and used, and that became eventually stand-up. Which eventually segued into storytelling. And so I'm kind of come full circle, because this piece really, it's not just, you know, laugh. There's some kind of, I'd like to think there's some kind of touching moments in it too. It's really about, if you want, it's about what happens when your dreams come butting head up against reality. And what do you do at that mm-hmm. point? A lot of people pack up their bags and go back to Topeka. I, however, am from Long Island, so that wasn't an option.
You know, I have always thought this, that people who are gifted comedically and who are basically, you know, make a living as being comedians and or not, are really the best dramatic actors.
Oh, yeah.
And
no
I don't
question.
Think it works the other way around necessarily.
No question.
It doesn't.
There's
it doesn't.
Really no difference. You know, people say, what kind of acting do you like to do? Or what kind of acting do you do? And I always say, good acting. But, you know, there truly on some level is no difference. Acting is acting. Mm-hmm. The funniest thing you'll ever see are people who are just acting the reality of it.
Right.
And being absolutely dead serious. There's nothing funnier. It's when you try to be funny that you... kind of can get into trouble.
Right, when you push it. Yeah, when you ask, it's the old story of you
Paul,
know,
I'm not looking at you when I said that. I have a lazy eye.
You didn't need to look. The physical pointing was enough. I want to continue this, but I do want to throw this information out there. This is the small parts, the story, the myth, the legend, a work in progress. It is at the Flight Theater in glamorous Hollywood, USA for only four performances. That's November 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th. One weekend, 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th. Don't miss this West Coast world premiere. You'll laugh. You'll cry, and then you'll go home. Tickets are at brownpapertickets.com, and the website is smallpartstheshow.com. So go there to learn more about it, and we'll throw this out at the end of the hour as well. But
absolutely.
I just want to make sure that we got that out
and
there.
Yeah, thank you. And go to the website frequently, because we're having ticket specials on a daily basis.
Well, it's also just...
If you bring in a bad headshot, for example, you get $5 off a ticket.
Really?
We will be having a bad headshot contest.
Now, wait a minute. Can they be cumulative? Like, if I bring in 10 bad headshots, will I get a $50 credit?
That you won't get, but there will be a contest at the end of the evening, by audience vote. And whoever has the worst headshot will get a a special perm.
My early 80s perm. Oh. With this nose, I look like a cockatiel.
My friend, so, yeah. I can match you bad haircut you for think? Bad haircut.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It must be a current headshot, does it not? Or is it just from any
time? No, it can be from any time. And in fact, if you're not an actor, I don't want to exclude anybody. A bad passport picture, a bad driver's license picture.
Because Michael, you got some headshots that are just a little, you know, I'm thinking of that. The Salminio one with the horn-rimmed glasses.
I got one of those. That's
not as Salminio.
No, that's what I mean. A Salminio.
What's wrong with the idea?
There is Salminio if he was a mathematician.
He would be a wonderful Salminio.
Yes, he would. He
would.
Be alive.
Yeah,
he'd be alive Salminio, which is already being improved. Yeah.
We have 5 minutes.
We do.
And I want to ask these guys to share with us their stories that we always do about your tales of woe. Bruce, if you have something, we'll start with you.
I've always wanted to do
that.
You know, I wish I had great tragedy stories of the theater, but the only thing that ever went wrong when I was an actor in a play, I mean, I guess I was blessed, but I was doing a play at the Taper, and it's not wrong, but it was hilarious, and John McMartin was in the play, and Bud Cort was in the play, and Bud Cort and I played best friends, and I'll do this very quickly, but we were online, and we haven't seen each other in a while in the play, and we're trying to catch up, and he's become very effete, and we talk about jazz, and it's a 40s play, and I said, whatever it was, and he says, I'm into Debussy now. And John McMartin is narrating the play, and he's over on the side, and he's supposed to say, poor prig, because Bud Cort is the young John McMartin. And so we say, I'm into Debussy now, and we're sitting there, and nothing is happening. And so he looks at me and he goes, I said, And then both of our eyes at the same time went over to John McMartin, who is asleep on the lip of the stage. And Bud cannot improvise if it killed him. And it's not my turn. My character cannot say a line. So Bud finally, after about what seemed like 5 minutes, probably 30, 40 seconds, Bud goes, Debussy. He was quite a guy. And then John McMartin woke up.
Yes, that would
poor
wake
prig.
Him up.
Wow.
We were just biting our lips so much. It was so
that's
funny.
That's brutal.
Holy cow. I wouldn't expect that of someone like John McMartin.
he had to sit there for long stretches of the play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was really funny.
We did Oedipus a Requiem in Chicago, and I was up on the... And everyone who died in Oedipus went up to this death walk and stood in the back of the show. So I was Polynices, so I died in Act One, and I just had to stay up there for watch this 3-hour show every night in full view of the audience. And not enough. What do you got, Richard?
Well, as opposed to Bruce, I have nothing but horror stories. In fact, that's kind of what the show is about. It's almost a cautionary tale. I like to say it's like a Sizzler salad bar. There's so much to choose from. None of it's very appetizing. there's one that...
And such small portions. There
ba-boom.
Goes that sponsor.
Ba-boom. Yeah, really. No, I love this one. I love it. There's one that is actually in the show, so I'm not going to... I won't give it all away, but suffice to say it was an equity waiver show. I was given a real gun, told there were blanks in it, and an hour before curtain time... The show, let's just say the end of the story ended with me at Cedars-Sinai Hospital getting six stitches in my chin.
Holy cow.
And that, my friends, is one of the better stories.
Oh, man.
That's one of the nicer ones.
Wow, but
top that.
All things considered, you got off easy with six stitches in your chin. I mean,
well, true. Well, that wasn't from the gun. That was something else.
Oh, okay.
There were powder burns involved as well.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, you talk about bleeding for your art. I can say I've actually done it.
And your chin still looks good.
Thank you very much.
Yes, it does.
So does yours.
You've had work done.
Put on a shirt. You've had enough already.
These shows we are talking about, the Bruce's show is the Kritzerland Records, a Rodgers and Hammerstein album with a little heart and a little Sondheim. Sorry, first day with a new mouth. This is at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal. This is a Sunday, November 4th. Thank you. Dinner seating from 5:30 to 6. Show times 7 to 8. Address, 5303 Lancashire Boulevard in NoHo. Reservation only, 818-754-8700. And Richard's show, Small Parts, the story, the myth, the legend, a work in progress. This is at the Flight Theater in Hollywood. This is November 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th, four shows only. So get those tickets early and go to smallpartstheshow.com for all sorts of ticket deals and
contests,
contests and the like, and also brownpapertickets.com.
Hilarious idea.
So, gentlemen, what a joy it was to have both of you on.
It was a good time.
It was really
enjoyable. We were joyful.
Yeah, you were. You were. I'm reading the cards. No, but
you think we can play that track?
Yeah, let's have
produce.
Let's play
us out.
His track off. Have us play us off the air. This is the song. Is the title In My Own Little Corner?
Or?
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
all right.
Indeed. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
And we will see you all.
Thank you, Paul.
Next week.
Yes, indeed, on the radio.
Sterling and Paul Strolley, right here on LA Talk Radio.